This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Area cares about college football, but they had like, they tried to do their own like halftime show, but in like a parking lot 3 miles away with, I think, Imagine Dragons.
That sounds about right. I'm like, that all checks out.
But like, but why? Like, this is all so unnecessary.
I mean, the idea would be to bring in the casuals, but like, I don't know. Like, to me, I think the difference is like, think about it in these terms. When we're talking about the All-Star Saturday night, it was basically just the events. But now when you have to have like the players have a walkout, like John C. Reilly in Talladega Nights, like where he's like doing the Magic Man. Like when you're, I think when you bring in a stage, that's when you're overdoing it. And so to me, it's like all in general. All right, here were some of the other ones. Does anybody know who the world heavyweight boxing champion is? Anyone?
I used to.
I think there's somebody named Alvarez. Is that it?
I don't know. We had the guy from Tuscaloosa for a while that was throwing heavy haymakers.
Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Is the guy Usyk? Is that right?
Okay, so I know everyone loves to do boxing, and they blame pay-per-view. Here's actually who I blame for boxing, because I was still kind of into boxing. I blame the Klitschkos, because the Klitschkos were dominant heavyweight guys, but they promised their mother they wouldn't fight each other. And so you had these two awesome boxers that nobody would ever, like, they wouldn't fight each other. And so we just quit caring. And now we just, the best boxers are now, like, in
it
the
is
lower.
Usyk, by the way.
Usyk? Okay.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Usyk.
Well, and then they gave us Mayweather-Pacquiao 15 years after Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah,
that was Mayweather's fault. Mayweather wanted nothing to do with that.
Not so much fault, but that was by design.
That was strategic.
I'll say there's ducking. And so I just think, like, in general, it's the, when we're no longer putting, like, the best guys against each other.
And now you've got YouTube Jake Paul v. 85-year-old Mike Tyson with his butt cheeks hanging out.
Yeah, then Paul, he had another fight that was, like, the sanctions were questioned. Okay, here's the other one. Remember when we were in high school? The World Series of Poker.
I just saw something yesterday where the World Series of Poker final table is about to happen, and there's, like, one actual pro player in it.
What channel's it on?
Oh, I remember it used to, Lon McCarron on ESPN was must-watch TV.
We had it on ESPN. It was where you actually got to see Norman Shad. Like, yeah. Norman Shad used to have the column that would run in the paper, the picks column, and it was like the first time you could actually see Norman Shad. I have no idea where the World Series of Poker is on right now.
It's funny you say that. I think Chris Moneymaker actually, I think, lives in DeSoto County somewhere now.
He was from Tennessee somewhere.
I actually was at a state Mississippi soccer state tournament in Vicksburg last year, and his kid was on one of the teams.
Again, these are lesser events, but Did y'all know that the Tour de France has already started?
Nope.
Nope. I did not know that, but I do remember that it was always in July.
Right, but my point is, like, I was, what was I watching on, maybe I was, like, Golf Channel, I was watching the Open coverage, and, they're like, we're in stage four.
Well, you also,
I was like, I know, I didn't even start it.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but when you think about it, we care, like, we as Americans cared about Tour de France for one reason and one reason
right,
only.
Right, Lance Armstrong, but
and
I also...
And then it came out that he quite literally cheated his balls off.
Well, I think everybody was cheating. Lance's problem was Lance was a dick. it seems like they're all doping. They're all doing the same thing. It's just like Lance was trying to ruin people's lives. Mm. And so they got to a certain point where everyone's like...
Who was the American that won it after him?
Floyd...
Landis.
Floyd Landis, there you go.
He cheated.
Yeah, but...
And then he took everybody down with him.
Right. I mean, I think that's... Listen, if I'm going down, you're all going down with me. The other one that I had... Well, all these media days, but I do think there's something about, did we actually care about Lance Armstrong, or is it the fact that with the lack of options, Lance Armstrong was force fed to us and we were forced to care?
I think he was American.
Bracelets too helped. Yes. Yeah, his cancer. I mean, because the story was he beat cancer. He's the best cyclist in the world.
Left his wife for Sheryl Crow. Continue.
Yes. Look, I am no Lance Armstrong guy.
He got his own This Is Sports Center commercial, remember?
Yeah,
where he was powering the building with his bike.
I would be very curious to know if Lance were doing it, if his prime were in this era of all the options of things to watch, I would be very curious to know if he is that big of a deal.
Probably not.
My gut says no. Now, I think we would be, it's only in the sense of, I think we'd be just as aware of it as we are that Coca Golf won the French Open.
Well, also, Lance Armstrong was popular at a time when a lot of ESPN's employees actually knew how to discuss sports intelligently.
Well, but Sports Illustrated was a big deal. There was monoculture. And so you could kind of force feed us a story, and now I would just be very curious if we had other options, if it would have taken off.
Again, I'm with you, probably not.
Gut instinct is no, only because now everything is so accessible, we can pick and choose. It isn't
that's
as much
what I'm
like,
saying.
Exactly, it's not like, okay, whatever's on ESPN, that's what we watch and we talk about. It's, okay, we're going to find soccer to watch one way or another, if we want to watch it. Compared to, okay, well, this is what's on TV, so we're watching it.
All right, Tim, I know you got to go.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, my man. Good luck.
See you. Thank you.
That is Tim Murray. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll get into the list. Lots to get to from the world of sports, including biggest spenders in college football. Thought this was an interesting one. Got to talk about that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. College football spending. All right, boys. So Pete Nakos over at On3 surveyed 17 stakeholders across college football, including head coaches, administrators, general managers, NIL collectives, and agent. The specific question was, which 10 programs do you believe spent the most money to build their 2025 roster? According to Pete, some opted to only provide 5 schools, saying they believed there was a significant break in the spending after the top group. I can see where that becomes true. Others listed more than 10, which were classified as honorable mention votes. In total, 23 schools received a top 10 vote. The only school to appear on every ballot was
Texas Tech.
Half right.
Texas. What's all this about Texas Tech spending $52 million this year?
The number one team was the Texas Longhorns, getting all 17 votes. Nakos writes, the overall consensus top spender in college football entering the 2025 season is Texas. The Longhorns have long been viewed as one of the wealthiest programs in the sport. Reports surfaced this spring that Texas's roster would touch $40 million this fall. Head coach Steve Sarkisian shot down that report in May, but also painted a picture of how much the Longhorns are working with, roughly $25 million. According to Sarkisian at spring meetings, what's frustrating on that was it was a little bit of irresponsible reporting. It was an anonymous source that said that's what our roster was. I wish I had $40 million on our roster. We'd probably be a better team than we are. The idea to think that there are a lot of other schools aren't spending money to get players. I mean, it's the state of college football right now. It is what it is. Hey, we're fortunate. Don't get me wrong. Quote, we've got great support. I wish I had another $15 million or so, though. I think it might have helped build a better roster. So according to survey respondents, Texas has Arch making $1 million. Keep going. Anthony Hill making $1 million. Colin Simmons making $1 million. And I bet Ryan Wingo is around there, a GM said. They're making at least $1 million when I say that. Number two.
Texas Tech.
There you go.
I was about to say, I really thought for a second there I might have been conflating with the reports about their basketball program, which we know is also, you know, spending some big money.
They just paid their starting softball pitcher another $1 million.
Well,
she
deserves it.
She has to be the first person in the history of the planet that voluntarily left Stanford to go to Texas Tech as a student.
I'd buy that.
I'm sure there have been plenty of people that were asked to leave Stanford and wound up at Texas Tech. I don't think there's ever been someone that's like, I'm going there.
And said, correct. You know what I'm going to do is throw every single pitch of a finals. Oh, and I'm also going
to
stay.
Yeah, respect to her. A year ago, Texas Tech probably would not have cracked the top 10, but the Red Raiders burst onto the spending scene this offseason with billionaire booster Cody Campbell putting together the nation's top-ranked portal class while retaining their roster. That doesn't come without deep pockets. With so much money spent, expectations are high for Texas Tech to deliver on the field.
Isn't that dude going to be the chair with Nick Saban of whatever the presidential college football task force is?
Does that committee not exist anymore? I think they gave up on it. But yes, he was the one that was bandied about, yes. But I don't think that... I think they basically said, okay, this has no chance. Sources have told On3 that this year's roster is set to cost Texas Tech north of $28 million. Major portal wins included Colorado offensive lineman Cash Cleveland. That's who Deion was upset about.
Yep.
Wait, Deion was upset about something?
Oh, yeah. No, Deion's flipped. Now that his kids are no longer on the team, Deion wants a salary cap.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it's funny how it kind of worked that way.
Maybe he can sell his Gucci luggage to pay for
Louis,
some of the
Louis,
rest.
Louis.
Oh, it was Louis.
Louis
my yes. mistake. My apologies, Coach
Louis.
Prime.
Texas Tech also outbid Ohio State on USC running back Quentin Joyner, spending roughly $700,000. They have to pay 30% more to get guys because of the location, a source said. With all due respect, I don't think it's the location. I think it's Texas Tech.
Well, Lubbock is in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Listen, I'm not saying that Lubbock is a phenomenon. Like, we always have the jokes when Parcells was there with Steve Sloan that they had to fly prospects in the middle of the night. Like, I don't think, though, the location is what guys are caring about right now.
No.
Like,
no, it's the program. It's the visibility. It's all that, too.
Like, Alabama's made Tuscaloosa nice, but it's not like everyone's like, you know where I want to go? Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Like,
also, a little bit in the middle of nowhere.
Number three, Ohio State.
Shocker.
Also, I like Tim's point from a couple of weeks ago where last year they were like, Ohio State's got a $25 million roster. That's what they told you they spent on their roster. I'm willing to bet that they spent a lot more than that and still couldn't beat Michigan.
Oh, see. What Tim's point is, Ohio State was one of the few that was like,
oh, yeah, we spent big dollars on this.
Tim's point was he doesn't think they're the only ones. And I do agree with him on that.
Oh, I'd agree with that too.
Absolutely.
I do think if Ohio State didn't have the highest paid roster last year, negligible. Like, the difference was maybe a decimal point. Mm. Like a rounding error, if you will. For Oregon, duh.
Yeah.
Always.
Oregon's always been very nice to put the number of national championships they've won right in the middle of their
team. Yeah, exactly. Donut, bagel. This was a football take workshop thing that I was pondering.
Fire.
With Oregon. All right, see if y'all dig this. I think Oregon is to blame for the degradation of jerseys, and not in the way that you think.
Okay.
So what everyone would think is Oregon popularized it, and then it got sold to everyone else as this is what recruits want. Mm-hmm. Are y'all following along at this point?
I'm with you.
I'm following.
Okay. What got completely lost in the equation is everyone bought hook, line, and sinker that Uncle Phil was just buying facilities and jerseys. Y'all, he was buying players too. And so people thought Oregon got good just because they had Nike behind them. No, they were getting players.
Oh, absolutely. That's the Nike money. That's the same thing as these Texas teams. That's oil money.
Right, but now we all have to deal with our favorite uniforms just getting completely bastardized.
Like Notre Dame wearing pinstripes against Syracuse at Yankee Stadium?
Again, that's on y'all.
I don't disagree.
I'll say this. I always have respect for Alabama.
Keep it classic.
Penn State.
Keep it classic.
Michigan.
They don't screw with it.
Michigan for the most part.
Yep. Like,
and here's my...
Texas.
Don't screw it up.
I will tag on to this a little bit. It's when other teams try to replicate what Oregon does. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times when Oregon does it, it kind of works because they invented it. It's
their
thing.
That's their brand. Yes, their brand is not having a brand.
But I got to tell you, when Oregon wears the old school like Dan Fouts era, don't you always go, that's a good looking jersey. Mm. The yellow with the old duck on the helmet.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but that one has never moved me.
I like that one. I'm trying to think the ones that I can't.
Some of the Marcus Mariota era.
We gotta get
awful,
so bad.
Can we file a class action lawsuit? Nobody's allowed to wear highlighter. The highlighter yellow. I always think it's a penalty flag. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with whenever the Chiefs have the guys that wear the yellow jerseys, and you can see like in the corner of the screen, like flag. Nope, it's just somebody's glove. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the highlighter. Everything else, fine. Have at it. The highlighter yellow. No, thank you. Get rid of that. All right. 5, A&M.
Not shocking.
Three of the top five.
Just so they can go 8-4 again.
Three of the top five. Three of the top five save Texas.
Again, it's that oil money.
Yep.
At least
almost like
also
they care about almost like they care about football down there.
At least they're consistent.
Oh, no.
They might be 8-4, but they're consistent.
Yeah. When you've had like 10 head coaches and 2 conferences over the last 35 years, maybe that's just what you are. If you constantly underachieve, are you actually underachieving at all?
This is the thing I've always wondered, though, about A&M. Because A&M, like, let's see. Their 10-win seasons were Manziel's freshman year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The COVID year, did they get to 10?
They got to 9.
Yeah.
But they went 9-1 and won the Orange Bowl. But they didn't play for the SEC championship.
And they got their losses to Alabama, like they were like everyone, they lost to Alabama by 3 scores.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4.
I want to say it's maybe like 24. The thing that has always perplexed me is why can't they figure it out?
I don't think there's anything to figure out. I think that's just what they are.
Yeah, but like we are in it. Like my thing is, I think we're at a point where they're going to keep giving themselves enough chances that as long as we're in an era where money is what buys the best roster, like they're going to, I don't know if they break through and win a title, but they are going to break through and be something more than 8-4.
I'll believe that when it happens.
I'm curious if it's somewhere in the leadership structure or somewhere in the decision-making structure, because to me, it seems almost like just less noisy.
Because
like at Auburn, almost, where you've got
I'm tired of trying to pretend that Auburn is a big-time football program. I'm sorry. They had it rolling under Tuberville, and then Chizik caught Cam Newton lightning in a bottle, and then Gus went to a title game off the two flukiest plays in the history of the sport. And do you know how many times Auburn's won 10 games in a season in the playoff era? Once. And they went 10-4 and lost to UCF in the Peach Bowl. Should have been Memphis. But,
I'm not. But my thing is,
Auburn hasn't had a winning season since before COVID.
My thing is, I'm not saying that it's this big-time program. I'm saying a lot of the issues keeping them from getting there.
So his point is, and I think I would agree with this, and I think the same held true to Texas until Sark got there, which is, yes, you're resourced. Now, the difference with Auburn is I do not think Auburn is anywhere remotely resourced like Texas and Texas A&M were.
No.
But the problem is you had a handful of boosters that make every decision, and they're very dysfunctional. And so because of that, like, part of Tuberville's success is, A, Bama was at an all-time program low, but Tuberville, being a politician, literally, for lack of a better word,
no, literally,
was able to get
those guys to actually agree for
get them
once
on board. Same thing with Mac at Texas. Like, so Sark has been able to get everybody pushing in the right direction together, and what's unusual about that is, like, the way that Saban was able to do it is Saban went a little more Machiavellian. Like, Saban put a head on a spike. So the first year he gets there, he's having to deal with all the big people that think that their S doesn't stink and telling him how to do it. Well, he let them get caught, and they went on probation, and then he basically took, like, one of the loudest ones and got excommunicated, if you will, put his head on a spike and said, everyone listens to me. And guess what?
Who's next?
Correct. And guess what? We saw the greatest run from one program in college football history.
And to that point about Auburn, all of those times when they've been successful, it's been because of other circumstances, notwithstanding the coach.
Well, the other problem that Auburn...
Because Cam Newton was undeniable is the thing.
But, okay, let's look at the 2010 season, though. The other aspect about that is, yes, you had Alabama operating at peak efficiency, but you know what you didn't have? You didn't have that school over to your right that is now a dominant national power, and you depended a lot on Atlanta and Georgia for players. Another school kind of came along in Clemson, in which you both kind of have the same identity, but they're all recruiting the same spot. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to go into Georgia. So the other problem that Auburn has had is it's one thing to fight off peak efficiency Alabama, but they've never had to fight off peak efficiency Alabama and Georgia at the same time.
Yeah, fair. Absolutely.
All right, so then we've got Miami 5. Honestly, I was surprised it wasn't higher.
Aren't
I wish they had anyone other than Cristobal.
I was about to
because
say.
Because I so much want to buy in on them this year, but the problem is Cristobal on Saturdays,
just the worst.
Oh. Like, God, the worst.
To me, Mario Cristobal not taking a knee and running the clock out against Georgia Tech 2 years ago. Like, to me, Mario Cristobal has lost the right to coach football for money.
That is actual malpractice.
Yes.
Like, that was disgusting.
And then not...
Oh, I loved it, because I loathe Miami, and watching them be in the gutter all of the time is hilarious to me. But I
go back and forth on it, because here's the one problem.
How much Beck stock do you have, though, is the question on top
of
that.
No, it's mainly because I have shorts on the ACC.
Fair.
I do not think that Mike figured it out, and basically I'm banking on them beating everyone other than Clemson, and I think their roster's better than Clemson. So here was the
you
one.
You can sway me there.
It is coaching malpractice. Mm-hmm. There's no question, especially a one-score game.
If you've done it once, he did it twice.
The kid did come back from, like, multiple ACLs, and it was his first chance to get 100 yards. Like, there is a part of me that was like...
There's a little human element
in
there.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, just hold on to the ball.
Kneel the ball down.
No, there's no... It is your job. You're paid to take a knee.
Yes.
You paid a lot of money to take a knee.
But that kid could have gotten 100 yards. We don't know.
A blown out knee? I mean...
Did he have a bonus structure? I mean...
Oh, I thought it was amazing. I loved it. And, everyone forgets and then remembers that he did that at Oregon against Stanford in 2018. And I watched that game from start to finish only because the next week Stanford was going to Notre Dame, and that was going to be a two top 10, undefeated top 10 team. So I needed Stanford to win that game. And when 42 seconds left, let's hand the ball off, fumble, while Stanford's out of timeouts, I was just like, I can't trust this guy ever.
The only time I've ever had a crisis of conviction was – early in Herbert's rookie year, when I was like, am I really mad at Cristobal? But lo and behold, all it took was he was just beaten up on bad teams. And as soon as he got to, as soon as Herbert got to see, like, when you watch Herbert against other good teams, it's just like he's such a turtle.
Well, remember the 2019 season? Oregon opens up against Bo Nix's freshman year at Auburn.
At Jerry World. The front shoulder fade.
Yes. But remember that game, Herbert lost his helmet. And it wasn't because of a penalty, so he's
got
to come out.
Yeah, he got.
Well, Cristobal took a timeout because he thought if you took the timeout, Herbert didn't have to come out of the game, and they were like, no, he's still got to come out of the game. His helmet came off. What are you talking about? And
I'll defend him on this. I thought that was the rule. I thought you have the option to take a timeout and put him back in.
I think you only have the option to take
a
10-second runoff at the end of the game.
No, again, this might be a high school rule, but I do know they always say you got to come out. They give the coach the option. Do you want the timeout? Like when it's a quarterback, do you want the timeout? So I thought that was the rule. Well, I'm going to defend him on that one.
He burned the timeout, and Herbert sat out of play.
And then they brought in, is it Jeff Locke? Jeff Locke used to be, look him up, George. He was the captain of my looks like a quarterback until the ball snap team. He wore the crap out of a uniform. Looked so good. But, man, when the ball was snapped, was he bad. He had, like, one of the saddest throwing motions I've ever seen. He was, like, 17 from Oregon.
Also, let's not forget, with the game on the line, you need to throw a Hail Mary. Justin Herbert, he threw a Hail Mary. He threw it. He hailed so hard that it went 15 rows into the stands behind the end zone. I was like, dude, give your guys a chance to catch the ball.
95% of why I cannot.
Jeff Lockie?
Yeah, Lockie, sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he looks so good in a uniform.
Yeah.
Out
of the uniform, he looks like a coach.
95% of why I cannot buy Lenora Sellers, A, I watched the Ole Miss game, but B, when you have a throw to extend the game against Alabama and you sail it 10 rows into the student section, like it was a rollout. It was like a 12-yard pass.
Arms too live.
I mean, that was truly like one of the worst. Like, it should have had the Carlton music set to it. Like, it was that type of throw.
I can't get behind Lenora Sellers because Shane Beamer's his coach, and Shane Beamer will crash out over something stupid in the middle of a game, like Brett Bielema substituting too many times.
South Carolina's got...
I am only partially out on Sellers because I think he should wear the rec specs.
I do. I agree. I'm in on that.
If he wore the specs, I might be all in.
I'm trying.
Okay, here's where.
What was their
rec specs are a bigger deal for a basketball player. They look cooler on a basketball player than they do on a football player.
I mean, it's 95% of Horace Grant's like image.
I don't disagree, but when you can move the way that Sellers does, and if he was wearing the rec specs, there's some extra juice in there.
All right, I want to go back. Okay, they beat the crap out of Vanderbilt.
Yep.
They had a statement loss against Georgia, right?
Was this Scar last year?
Yeah.
Was that one statement, or was it kind of just a loss?
I'm trying to I want to go back to... They got a lot of mileage out of a schedule that, like, upon further review... Okay.
The close loss to LSU
They hosed on that one.
They had the weird start against Old Dominion, where they had to, like, hang on for dear life and win. They have the LSU game where they have the bad call because everyone watched on Thursday Night Football Tua have another concussion, and all the SEC refs were instructed anything close to the head, throw a flag. And so they got screwed on that. They hammer Akron. Ole Miss could have named their number. Like, the fact Ole Miss won 27-3, and that was the closest the game could have been based on when you, like, watched the football game play out.
Yeah.
The statement loss against Alabama.
Oh, that's right. The one where didn't they have to recover like two onside kicks?
Yes.
And
yes.
Something crazy.
They fell behind by like three scores and they had the furious comeback.
Oh, and that was a Joe Tess, vintage Joe Tess. I'm also out on Joe Tess, by the way. He insists upon himself.
Let's see.
Then they ran the table until Illinois.
They had the Oklahoma game when Oklahoma was trying to play. I always forget the kid's name. His dad was a great DB at OU. They were juggling.
Was that the quarterback?
Yeah,
they
benched Arnold, and they're like, "This kid's the future."
Hawkins.
That's Michael Hawkins Jr.
Like, turned the ball over.
Well, like they bought into Michael Hawkins on that fourth quarter collapse by Auburn.
That's right.
Okay, they got a lot of mileage out of Oklahoma being god-awful that day. Then they blitzed A&M, hammered Vandy, escaped the Mizzou game, hammered Wofford, and then beat Clemson. Like, they're getting a lot of mileage out of, like, what their
best wins,
Clemson?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then just got put, like, bullied and stuffed in a locker by Illinois.
God,
and
Bielema was cooking up gas that day.
Dude, Bielema
had his bag.
He had Beamer in meltdown mode. He had the ESPN commentators in meltdown mode. He had the SEC network people in meltdown mode. The Saturday Down South people were crashing out. I mean, it was amazing. And then when he goes to check on his injured player and does the substitution.
Absolutely best.
That was an amazing day. I loved that so much.
Brett's the best.
And they were like, you think about how stupid of a complaint that is. They're substituting too much.
Yeah.
Like, okay, and snap the ball and play football.
Or you don't substitute and you can control it. We got USC at 7, tied
Lincoln Riley's
with Michigan. We've been on this for a while.
Yeah.
Tennessee at 9, Auburn at 10. The others receiving votes were LSU, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, Penn State, Arizona State, Clemson, Florida State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, South Carolina. The thing that I...
So the rest of the SEC is all honorable mentions, pretty much.
I kind of like the GM that said, I'm only submitting 5 because I think after that, everyone's about the same.
I can buy that.
I think you've got some that are far and away out in front.
Where was Ohio State on that list?
Ohio State was 3.
Yeah, okay. They were up there.
So you have Texas A&M, Ohio State, Oregon. I'm sorry. You have Texas, Texas Tech, Ohio State, Oregon, and then A&M.
Gotcha.
And then I think, that next, like, you can talk me into Miami being a little bit higher up, but then I think everyone else is kind of roughly the same.
Yeah, and what I really wonder with a good handful of those, namely the program that I follow the most, how much of that is spending to keep guys on the roster versus bringing in new talent?
I think that is the legitimate question about Texas Tech is having spent all this money, the big question, though, is was this the year to portal and spend in the portal? Because now what everybody's doing is, largely to George's point, for the most part, if you want to keep a guy, you keep him. Mm-hmm. And now you have this situation of guys that are in the portal, they're in there for a reason. Now, it can work out. People would have told you before last year, Walter Nolan was in the portal for a reason. Ole Miss got whatever they paid for Walter and more.
Absolutely.
Like, he was phenomenal. No issues.
But then you have this year, they're correct. Not going out and spending that. Instead, they're saying, okay, we have the next guy here in Suntaron Perkins. We're going to keep him home and spend what we have to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could have seen him getting a ton of money.
Well, then the other thing is we're now finally shuffling through the COVID eighth-year seniors.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the dude that started at Oregon and is at Miami and is on his, like, ninth year?
The tight end.
But he's only played, like, 4 games in the last 9 years.
I never remember his name,
but,
like, it's always where I sit there and go, well, can someone explain to me how he keeps getting eligibility?
Well, he never plays, so he doesn't use any of it.
Yeah, but, like, even if you don't play, your clock's running. Like, that's, like, you can't get unlimited medical red shirts. Like, it is certain. Like, he literally, I think, played 9 years.
Maybe he's just a really nice guy.
I'm sure he is, but like,
he gives you the sad puppy dog eyes and says, "Please."
Cam McCormick from Bend, Oregon. He started his collegiate career in 2017.
Nice.
With the Oregon Ducks. So 17-19, 21-23, and then since then he's been at Miami.
It is where like the Shamar Stewart is like kind of relatable. Like, hey, he got 3 months in the real world, and he's like, I just want to go back to college, man. Like,
everything is done for me.
Yeah, everyone's like,
I'm told to be here at this time. I have no responsibilities.
Now, most of us, our first entry-level job wasn't paying us $25 million, but then just basically said, don't get arrested, and then you owe us your money back. Basically, that's what it is like, and now I'm blaming the agent on that. Everyone needs to look it up. Zach Hiller, 33 years old. The company is called Loyalty Over Everything.
Yeah,
amazing.
I went to their website and I was like, you know what? You're very close saying LA.
Yeah.
Fort Lauderdale.
Ah.
The other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Just.
It tracks.
Greasiest looking agent I've ever seen.
With perfect name for perfectly named agency.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into. We got to talk. Have y'all seen that Cosplay Mahomes is playing in Arrowhead this year?
Oh, Nebraska?
Dylan Raiola?
Oh,
yeah, no, that was a game they were supposed to play at Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati moved it to somewhere, and then they moved it from somewhere to Arrowhead.
But literally, Cosplay Mahomes is playing in Arrowhead. Okay. So, just want to discuss that. We also got the top 25 NFL teams of this century. We'll get into that when we come back. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
So we have announced, ESPN today announced that they are moving the Cincinnati-Nebraska game to Arrowhead Stadium. This, of course, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then ESPN also tweeted it with the picture of Dylan Raiola walking into the stadium, as well as Patrick Mahomes. Cosplay Mahomes with Mahomes. He's got to knock this off, right? Are we all in agreement? It's one thing to like have a favorite player and like idolize his game. Literally like trying to dress like him, it's so banana land to me.
Well, if it's going to keep you at the forefront of the college football discussion because the powers that be love Mahomes and you
I guess
they might love you too.
To your point, it is like there's no such thing as bad publicity. Like, I don't know. I just don't want my name in the news for all the wrong reasons. Like, in the end, people are just like, this is a joke. This is really weird.
like, I spent all last year calling him Discount Mahomes.
No, but it's cosplay Mahomes.
But not like as some endearing term of affection. But it's just like,
I actually think he's okay.
He's okay. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not. It's that. All right. So over at ESPN, Bill Barnwell has endeavored to rank the best 25 NFL teams of the last 25 years. So of this century. And I have a philosophical question for everyone. Can you be the number one team of the last 25 years if you didn't win the Super Bowl? Because in the end, the number one team, the 18-1 New England Patriots.
I think it's got to be no.
No.
You have to have won. That is not to say that that was not an awesome football team, because that was absolutely 100% an awesome football team. Like, they laid waste to the league. But no, like, you have to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Agreed.
This is what Bill writes. No, the best team of the past 25 years did not win a Super Bowl. Would this even be a debate if Asante Samuel caught that interception on the final drive? Okay, you want to go through all the passes that we could have intercepted that day? I'll be happy to categorize them, because Brady was not very good that day.
Let's also not forget that the last two or three weeks of the season into the playoffs, there were some cracks in the armor for that Patriots team. I remember they played the Giants on Christmas Eve that year.
It was week 17. We had nothing to play for, and they were going for the record.
And that game came down to the late in the fourth
last
quarter.
Last possession, kind of ish. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, academically, I get what he's saying. I just don't think he can be the best team of the last 25 years.
But when you get to
so here we go. Two won a title, three won a title, four won a title.
Yep.
Five won a title, six won a title, seven won a title, eight won a title, nine won a title, 10 was the Rams that lost to the Patriots.
Oh, the greatest show on turf?
Correct.
And that was the year after they had beaten the Titans in the Super Bowl, correct?
Correct. I think there was a year in between.
This was the 0-1 Rams.
Did that not go back-to-back?
I think there was a year in between. Yes, the Bucs are in between. So it goes 0-1 Rams. Maybe you're right.
No, the Bucs was 0-2 against the Raiders, right?
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was back-to-back. I just remember thinking
Baltimore. Baltimore was 2000.
I remember thinking it was back-to-back, and then I looked it up, and it was like, oh, yeah, no. It's 99. And then,
99
yeah,
and 0-1. Yeah, I got you. That 2000 Ravens team with that ridiculous Ray Lewis, Rod Woodson defense.
Trent Dilfer. Notable UAB head coach, Trent Dilfer.
The 13th best team.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Who was it that pointed out? Dilfer might have an argument on... I find myself agreeing myself. Maybe
allow myself to introduce myself.
Instead of doing the whole Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, we should always do Broncos Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl.
Oh, John Roser made that point when
so
it happened.
Bad.
He couldn't throw the football anymore.
Like, it was
Duck City.
Oh God.
The difference there is he had already won one and been to two others. And that was the Trent Dilfer's Super Bowl was the only time Trent Dilfer was ever going to the Super Bowl.
Correct. And he just had to sit there and go, all right, boys, we're getting the ball at the 40 every time. Like, let's just go kick it.
Play a little defense, boys.
Yeah, let's keep it up.
But when you have lists like this, I talked about it earlier, it's list season. We need football back.
Yeah, but this does, like, get the juices flowing of football.
Give it a couple weeks.
And that's I guess, what is good about SEC Media Days now is it's kind of like the unofficial start the countdown to football season. But list season can be just excruciating sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on – the problem is if you have lists that are strictly for engagement, that's the problem. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. We got an Auburn head football coach, Hugh Freeze, on Lane Kiffin. Quote, I'm not on social media. Sure you aren't, buddy. I love Lane. He makes me laugh. I love his family. I couldn't get away with doing all the social media stuff like he does. I admire it. Go have fun with it. Yeah, sure you're not on social media, buddy. How many times did you scroll your name in the last 2 days? If you're not on social media, who posted your victory from your Club Ryder Cup?
How else would you know that people are talking about you golfing all the time?
It's a tough scene.
What a guy.
It's not a lie.
It's not a lie.
If you believe it. All right. Want to thank Tim, of course, for being with us. Lawrence, thanks for stopping by. If you missed anything, maybe up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.